The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast exploding into your eardrums like something that explodes. I'm not sure what that is offhand, but the cats have been exploding. Ben Casanelli with you. I'm joined by, like I am each and every week, by Tom King, the learned Tom King. And Kingy.
Hello, Benny.
It's fair to say, and it's difficult, well, it's ironic in a way to be saying this, but well, I'm certainly surprised by the Cats. It's hard to say you're surprised by a team that's been at the pointy end of the ladder for pretty much a decade.
15 years.
Yeah, but I'm surprised and sort of starting to get a little twinge in the areas where you like to get the twinge, Kingy, about what might unfold. Because I reckon
as long as it's not a hamstring. And it's Jeremy Cameron's.
The twinge I'm getting is at the reverse end of the string.
Right.
Yeah, the opposite side to the string.
Good.
So, I'd say if the grand final was played this weekend,
Geelong be favourites.
I don't think they'd win.
Mm.
It's not.
No.
So the challenge is to be playing.
Still 10 weeks away.
Challenge is to be playing this sort of footy in 10 weeks' time.
That's funny you say that. Chris Scott said, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. Chris Scott did his media conference this morning and somebody posed the question about, are you the team to beat? And he said, well, you could say that. And he goes, but I don't pay too much attention to what others say because I wasn't paying much attention when we were 5-4 and people thought we were going no good. So, but he did say if Geelong were to continue to play the footy they're playing now, it won't stack up in the finals. He goes, we've still got improvement because he knows that those around him are going to get better. Melbourne, Brisbane, Fremantle, Sydney. Sydney's the one that's coming with a bit of a rush.
Yeah.
But he also, and I will put the writer on this, he's also playing down expectations as well. He's not going to come out. Nobody comes out and says, well, yeah, we are the team to beat and good luck trying to catch us.
And no coach is going to come out and say, look, you know, we don't really need to improve. We just need to play the sort of footy we are because it's just not in the vernacular of coaches to do that. I don't know that Geelong can play too much better.
They can because they've got one bloke to come back in that makes them
Stuart,
better.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, even with Stuart back, okay, Stuart comes back, great. I don't know that they can play any better than they are right now.
Yeah.
They can.
So is that a worry? That you've got to maintain that?
If you're going on history, yes. Because Geelong, we've seen this show before,
yep,
where Geelong are in this position,
yep,
and it doesn't translate to a flag. It gets close, but doesn't translate. So, yes, I'd say in that perspective, yes.
Yep.
The thing, I just whacked the microphone there. Now my earphones are going. One's gone and one is...
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's happened there?
I don't know what you've done.
Have my phones gone?
Yeah.
I think that it's a good worry to have.
Yeah,
but
it's better than being 7-11.
It is. It's better than being Richmond.
Yeah,
getting beaten by Gold Coast after leading by 40 and then getting beaten by North
Melbourne.
North Melbourne, out we come. My second team, North. I love North.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you a North fan?
Well, my grandfather grew back for North.
Right, I didn't know that.
So he was a real staunch North man.
Okay.
My cousin's barracked for North Melbourne.
Right.
And my dad barracks for Essendon. So he grew up in Essendon, in Ascot Vale. So I like North Melbourne, I like Essendon.
Okay.
But I'm rooting for North Melbourne, not like barrack for them.
Yeah. it's an interesting word.
Americans love it.
Americans love it.
Yeah, I'm rooting.
Who are you rooting for?
Myself. That's when you're a bit selfish, Tom. That's when you got to look open them, get the blinkers off, and just sort of. And that's when you get into trouble when you do that.
What did you like about Saturday night?
What did I like? I liked the fact that the Cats were pretty clinical.
Yeah,
it was a four quarter effort, which they've. On the back of another four-quarter effort against Melbourne. It wasn't a burst where they, you know, we've seen at times Geelong put aside 8 goals in a quarter and then the other side comes back and kicks 7 and then, you know, Geelong get over the line or they get beaten. It wasn't one of those games. Geelong were consistent.
I reckon you felt halfway through the third quarter that it was Geelong's game.
Yeah, I'd say that. I don't think, the thing I'll say is I don't think that Carlton are They're a very improved side, but they aren't a premiership contender.
They're 2 years away.
Yeah.
They're winning if they're winning a flag, they're doing it in 2024.
Carlton and Fremantle, yep. And I know you're saying Sydney. I think Sydney are in that group.
Yeah, but I think Sydney are a bit Geelong-like. Sydney have got that ageing list. I know they've got some great kids, but a lot of their older blokes still do a lot of their heavy lifting for them.
Yeah, they do. I don't think they're battle-hardened enough, Sydney, though, across the board. I think they're very up and down. Geelong haven't been up. Early on in the year, perhaps a little bit. North, the Hawthorn game.
St Kilda,
yeah. But the last 8 weeks, they've been strong.
It's hard to believe that Geelong lost to Hawthorn and St Kilda.
It is.
You cop Sydney in Sydney and you cop Freo because Freo were flying at the time they beat them. But, gee, Hawthorn, you hope they don't come back. I don't think they will bite them on the bum, but I hope it doesn't cost. There's a difference between playing a qualifying final in Melbourne or having to go to Brisbane or Perth.
Well, I think if the Cats keep playing the way they are, they're going to shore up top two. So that means if they're playing Fremantle or Sydney, they're playing them in Melbourne.
Correct.
I don't think Fremantle or Sydney are beating Geelong in Melbourne.
You hope not. Although Fremantle beat them down in Geelong.
They did. I think Freo, like you said, Freo 2 years away. I think Carlton are 2 years away. Yep. And I think Sydney are perhaps a year away.
Yep.
I think Brisbane, some of their better players aren't playing as well as they have in previous years.
Joe Danaher's not playing very
Harris
well.
Andrews.
Yeah.
They're up and down. If you don't have to go to Brisbane to play them, on current form, I think you're beating.
Yep.
And Melbourne are the side, I think, to beat still.
Yes.
I think they're the one that can get it right. They've got the firepower. Okay, they've had a bit of a mid-season lull, if you want to put it. But if they can return to... They've played the sort of footy this year that can win a premiership. I don't know that the other clubs have.
Yep.
So, and the Cats and Melbourne are the two at the minute.
Yep.
And I just don't see any other real contenders. I mean, I don't think Collingwood are seasoned enough. Richmond are just going... I don't see who else is there.
If Port Adelaide could do some damage. If
they won't even play for them.
But if they got in, they could do some damage out of the bottom half.
They were well beaten on the weekend. They started well. I just
lost by 14 points.
Oh, they wouldn't earn their game. I thought they were... I don't think they'll play. If they don't beat Geelong, they're gone.
No, this is their last.
And I think they're gone anyway.
Yeah.
So, look, the other thing I like about Geelong, we've spoken about this before, there's a difference to them. Their pressure is good.
Yep.
And it seems to be sustained.
And that's a theme through the questions this week too.
Yeah, it's been sustained pressure. It's not a, like I said, we've seen quarters where the pressure's good, then suddenly it goes missing and the other team gets back into the contest. And the thing at this level is that the other team is going to have momentum. Yeah. At some point.
But the thing is, when Carlton had momentum on Saturday night, Carlton couldn't kick goals.
No, they couldn't.
No. Geelong were happy to take the heat and go, all right, we'll keep throwing punches at us. We'll get this game back on our terms eventually. But while you're throwing punches, none of them are going to connect. They kicked four in the first, one in the second, one in the third, two in the last. That's fairly good darts.
Yeah, I'll put my hand up to say I didn't expect Geelong to be where they were at the start of the year.
Well, no, I don't think any of us did. If we go back, we'll do it on
the
grand final.
People in the club will tell you they did. Do you reckon it'd be a bit like, what you were doing the first time you told a woman you loved her? Do you know what you were doing, Kingy?
I have absolutely no idea, Benny.
Lying.
Right. So anyway, well, I had them finishing sixth.
I had them six. I had them sort of fifth to eighth.
Yeah. Or did you have them lower? Did you have them potentially missing the eighth?
No. No.
I think hang on. Your phrase is they've always got enough talent to finish.
They had too much talent to miss the finals.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't expect them to be on top. But, and as I've said before, they've changed things around. They've got a difference to them. They've got, De Koning keeps Mackay goalless. Yeah. And admittedly, the service to him wasn't great.
No.
So,
but you've still got it.
And he dropped a sitter that he should have marked and all sorts of things went on there that helped him.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, he outmarked him a few times one-on-one. He is wow. I don't think we can sing his praises
high enough. If not for Nick Dacos, he's winning the Rising Star.
Yeah, that's a bit unfortunate. Nick Dacos, he's a real fly in the ointment, isn't he? Have you ever been in the ointment?
Yeah.
Have you ever used ointment?
No.
Say it, though.
Only after a spasm.
Yeah. Well, that's the best time to use it, too. Maybe if you use the ointment before you have a spasm, which is how we like it. Can I tell my joke, King?
No.
Yes, I can.
No,
you can't. It doesn't offend anyone.
No.
No, it does. Is this
the one about the schnauzer?
Yeah.
No, you're not telling.
Yeah, it doesn't offend anyone. So what happened was I used to go out with this girl and I bought her a dog as a present, right? And she rang me one day and she said...
You've got to say what breed of dog it is.
No.
No?
No, she said to me, She said, the dog rang me and said, the dog won't listen to me. She goes, when I whistle. And she had, like, in fairness to her, she had a bit of a loose dentist, so she had a permanent sort of whistle.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. But she said, the dog won't come to me when I whistle. And I said to her, well, maybe the dog has hair in its ears and it can't hear you. And she said, oh, well, that's it too, you know. And I said, well, go and get some cream to remove the hair, and then suddenly everything, you know, the seas might part and the dog might listen.
Yeah.
So she went down to the chemist and she bought some hair removal cream. And she went up to the counter, and before she had a chance to get her wallet out, the chemist goes, oh, if you're going to use this, it's very caustic. She goes, if you're going to use it on your legs.
There's a word that doesn't get used a lot, caustic.
Yeah. She says, the chemist said, if you're going to use it on your legs, make sure you get it off quickly. And he goes, and if you're going to use it on your face, just be very, very careful. And she said, no, it's for my schnauzer. And the chemist, you know what the chemist said? He said, well, in that case, don't ride your bike for 2 weeks. And that's a true story, Kingy. That's as true as I'm riding this pink elephant. But it is a very, very humorous gag, which... And do you know who said that gag?
Who said that gag?
He said it on a chat show.
Is this where you're trying to get me not to delete this out?
You won't be able to delete that. This was said on a chat show,
right,
on free-to-air television.
Graham Norton?
No.
By,
it was on Michael Parkinson.
Right.
And do you know who said it?
No.
I'll give you one hint.
Billy Connolly.
No, an Australian.
Kevin Buddy Wilson.
No. It's not a rude joke.
What Australian?
Famous Australian.
On
who Michael, liked to dress up.
Dame Edna.
Well, it was by Sir Les Patterson.
Oh, Sir Les.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And it was, I thought it was very, very amusing that for my schnauzer.
Right. You are an idiot.
Don't delete that out. Nobody's getting offended by it. It's just a clean gag.
I hope not.
It's just it flies a little bit sort of lightish blue, but it's certainly not. It's not dark.
What's
blue.
The lightest shade of blue?
Well, the lightest shade of blue is, well, you know, things you can get away with. No.
What's the colour actually called?
Aqua.
Is that as light as you can get?
Oh, there'd be another turquoise. There'd be plenty of colours that are sort of lightish blue. Turquoise, I'd say, or aqua.
Periwinkle blue.
Periwinkle blue. Someone's got too much time on their hands.
Oh, no,
thinking
sky
of
blue.
Stupid colour. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah,
sky blue.
That's an old one. That's an oldie but a goldie. It's like that gag. I like that gag. Yeah. Anyway, back to the footy, Kingy. So, De Koning, we can't sing his praise enough. Cat fans love him. Yeah, we love him. I don't think there's too many players who have come in and looked as comfortable playing a very, very difficult position as he has in his first season of senior football, albeit he's had 3 years of 2 years of grounding. Atkins... Stengel, Cameron's playing well. They seem to have a good mix. Selwood's playing, I wouldn't say turn the clock back, but he's moved the hands back about 10 minutes.
Yep.
so he's playing really good footy, Joel Selwood. Really good footy. And that's not
because he's playing with, because he's not taking as much of the load.
Well, he is, because that's the way he plays. He's never just sort of going to decide, oh, you know, Tom Atkins is over there doing that, so I don't need to do it.
But there's less. He's doing it, having to do it less. I mean,
potentially, because he's got Atkins in there.
Yep.
So Parfitt comes back in.
No guarantee.
They put him through the twos.
Well, there's no twos either. They're weighing up.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Because he hasn't played. He hasn't played since the start of June.
Yeah.
So,
but he has had an injury where he's been able to run.
Correct. But he knows coming off a week of COVID where he hasn't been able to do anything. He would have been on a treadmill or a bike at home.
Yeah, well, there's no need to rush him.
So, there isn't, because you potentially can. Well, Stevens didn't play last week, so they might look at Stevens to go over to Adelaide. Narkle had a good VFL hit out. They might look at him for another, just for a stopgap for a week to get Parfitt back in.
No VFL this week.
Yep.
You would think then that. Fair chance Parfitt might need a game in the twos the following week.
Well, potentially.
So he may not play for another 2 weeks.
Yeah. His first game back might be the St Kilda game on the Saturday night, round 21.
Yeah. So get him back, get Selwood back. Selwood back. Get, who's the other one to come back in?
Well, Stewart's got to come
back. Stewart.
So if somebody had said to you when Stewart got suspended and you looked at the block of four games without Stewart that it was North Melbourne, Carlton, and Port Adelaide, if you had have said, Geelong will guarantee you 3-1, you would have taken that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I would have thought in that block, ironically, Kingy, I would have thought that the hardest game is this week.
Yes.
On the road. Also factor in, and I know this, there's no tangible with this, but when you've won 8 in a row, history says at some point you have a downer for whatever reason. And I don't think, Kingy, and I'm look, who knows? I thought it might have been last Saturday night, to be honest with you, after the big game against Melbourne. It wasn't. Could it be this week? Well, it could be. You don't actually know. But I don't know that that would be the worst thing in the world.
Yep.
A little as long as you don't get injuries, a little reality check. You never want to lose, but Geelong at least played themselves into a position where a loss isn't catastrophic, so that they could still drop a game, you know, have a down night, things don't go their way, reset. I don't think that's the, and they're certainly not going to be planning for that. But if that happened, I don't think it'd be absolutely horrible for their season in terms of the back end. I mean, you only have to look at 2007, wasn't it, when they got beaten by Port
round 21,
when they couldn't lose a game, and suddenly they got beaten by Port at home.
Yep. Wasn't the worst thing.
No. And this group's very different to that one. This group's a lot more seasoned than that one. But anyway, look, it's the fact that they've played themselves into that position. But Port are a dangerous sort of side, albeit they're coming off a six-day break back from
at the Ellis.
Yeah.
In warm conditions.
Yes. Well, I was 23, I think, 24, so it wasn't like it was boiling, but certainly different to what they're used to playing in. Does that help the Cats? Potentially. And let's put it this way. I think if Geelong play like they have the last 2 weeks, they win. You know, do they have a bit of a downer? Who knows?
So if I told you, so outside of Buse and Menegola, so we know Menegola off with concussion, Buse was the Medi sub came on. Would you be surprised if I told you that the players that played the least amount of game time for the Cats were Dangerfield, Atkins, Selwood and Cam Guthrie? Cam Guthrie 74%, Selwood 70. Atkins only played 66% game time and Dangerfield played 62.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they're managing that midfield.
Well, they've got the numbers to go through and there's not a drop-off when they do flip them about.
No.
So,
And Blitzarv's only played 78%.
But I think you're probably fine, Kingy, the way the modern games play, that those numbers would be very similar across most clubs with their midfielders.
Just having a look at
it. It's the defenders and the forwards that don't come off.
No.
It's the midfielders are rotated on and off, and I think you're probably looking, and I'm only guessing, but somewhere between 70 and 75% is the game time you'll find for most midfielders.
Cripps 82, Walsh 82, Hewitt 80.
So that's not a huge...
Chera 77, Kennedy 77.
So they're not, it's not a huge amount of... If you're talking 7, 8%, it's not a huge amount of game time.
No.
So they're all getting rotated, but the fact that the Cats are not getting a drop-off regardless of what mix they've got in there... and, I mean, look... Okay, King, I'll ask you this question. The game's on the line. There's scores are level.
Yep.
There's a minute and a half to go in the game.
Who's in your centre square?
Yeah, for the Cats.
Atkins?
Yep.
Selwood?
Yes.
Guthrie?
Yes. I would have those three. They were the three I was thinking of. The one...
See, Dangerfield's the... But what did Atkins show us against Richmond?
Yeah. I think you've got Atkins in there as the defensive type player, but if he gets his chance, can be great going the other way. Guthrie is a bit the same. But if he gets it on the burst, he's a very good kick.
Yes.
And Selwood can do anything and is a great decision maker under pressure. So he can release the quick hamper. I wouldn't have Dangerfield in there simply because if he does get that clear ball out, it could go anywhere.
Yeah, he's not a great user, but also he...
He can break it open.
Yep.
So the three you mentioned are the three I'd have in, and I'd consider Dangerfield, maybe Guthrie out, Dangerfield in. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But I think the funny thing is, Kingy, we're saying Atkins, and I think if you put that out there, most Cat fans would have Atkins in the middle at a crucial point in the game.
He's become very popular.
He has, very popular.
Talking about the skipper, game 350 is next week.
Yeah, it's a pretty good effort, isn't it?
Yeah. Incredible.
Incredible? Did you say incredible?
No, incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Is he playing on?
Oh, I think on the form he's in. Well, I mean, if they won the premiership, would he say...
Flag.
I don't know. It probably just makes him more hungry. I think he lives, breathes
K-Rock football.
K-Rock football. and if you took the K-Rock out and it was just live, breathe football, that's him. So I don't know that he would want to walk away from the game if he felt that he had still had something to offer as a player. So the way he's going right now, I think he would seriously be considering playing on.
Yep.
But you don't need to decide that. He doesn't need to decide now, and the club doesn't need to decide that now. Isaac Smith, exactly the same. Zach Tui, exactly the same. Obviously, Dalhouse and Higgins would be gone at the end of the season.
Ran into Sean Higgins this morning. He ran for the first time since that surgery a couple of weeks ago in the hope of playing VFL next week. If not, it'll be the week after. And he's just keeping himself ready just in case. He said, I've been around long enough to know that injuries can pop up and I might need to be called on.
Yep. And as we mentioned on the broadcast, I mean, you know, he hasn't been Cat fans' cup of tea or has Dalhouse this year, and I understand why. But if you get to a final and you need somebody who's got some experience, you're calling on guys who have experience. I'd much rather...
Well, especially if the VFL aren't running through the finals.
I'd much rather have a Higgins in than a kid who's played two games, because you have absolutely no idea what you're going to get. Sean has at least been in the pressure cooker before, same with Dalhouse. So that's the beauty of having an experience list. But if all being said and done, as it stands right now, they're not in the side come the pointy end when the whips are cracking, unless there's injuries.
All right, what did you make of the re-signings, Benny? So for those who aren't aware, these are the re-signings. Toby Conway has been locked away till the end of 2025.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one, just in terms of that he's only in the first year of a two-year deal anyway, so they've just made sure he's going nowhere.
Yep, 100%. That's and he's going to need all that time to develop.
Yep.
He's going to need those 4 years to develop.
And even he said that, and even Chris Scott said that today in his media conference.
I just don't rush the kid. He's potentially 6 years away from being an AFL player.
Yep. Max Holmes, 2024.
Yeah, that's good.
Mark O'Connor, 2024. So that's interesting, because I suspect... So Mark O'Connor has admitted there is a go-home factor in every time he decides what he's doing. And so he's been offered another two-year deal. I suspect that if he wasn't offered a deal by Geelong, that he would be then going, well, it's either Geelong or I'm going home. And he was very... He touched on today when he... So all those five did media today. Mark O'Connor actually was talking about... So he's from County Kerry. They're in the All Island final in the Gaelic this week. A lot of his mates are playing in that. And he admitted to a tinge of jealousy that he's not a part of that. So I suspect he's going to be one that won't be Zach Tui and 33, 34 pulling stumps. And, well, I think Zach Tui's life's in Australia. I don't think Zach Tui's going home once what he's done. I think he's married to an Australian, all that sort of stuff.
He is.
Partner's an Australian, got kids, all that. So he's not going anywhere.
Whereas his dog's Australian.
he likes our golf courses.
In fact, his dog's not Australian because he got an Irish setter. He got it shipped out. Took ages, though.
Mark O'Connor's an interesting one, but, you know, he's still in their best 22. But is he come Tom Stewart?
If Tom Stewart's in, who's out? Because it has to be either Guthrie or O'Connor.
Zach Guthrie.
I say it's O'Connor.
It's probably O'Connor.
The way he's going,
he's struggling.
Shuffled. He is struggling. And as we've mentioned a few times, with Blitzarves going into the middle, he can't then go into the middle.
No.
He can only play in defence.
Yep.
Stewart's coming in. You have to take a defender out.
Yep.
I'd say right now, and it's staggering to be saying it, given that Zach Guthrie has gone past O'Connor.
Is he an ideal sub, Mark O'Connor, because he can play up the
ground? At a stretch, yes. He's just... you'd be a little Bruce Nankervis, but yeah, he can play other roles, so I suppose he could be considered for that role.
Right. Max Holmes, we touched on, great for him. He's
224, was it?
Yeah, 2024. Yeah. Ollie Dempsey, the rookie, who only had a one-year deal, he gets another year deal, and that's deserved.
So he's only till next year.
He's only till next year, but that's all. You know. And Shannon Neal's the interesting one.
Only one. Yeah, that's concerning.
Yeah, and that I did raise it with him this morning. I did say, all right, Shannon, you know, Cat fans will look at that and go, 1 year, but
was it an open slather on all these guys?
Yeah, so it was.
Jeez, what's happened down there?
The Addy and Fox Sports.
Did you just be able to roam around, King? We like roaming.
No,
Tom,
they brought them all in. They came into the auditorium.
Was it like a sort of a? Was it like the High Court? Was it
a little bit? Yeah.
Was it?
Actually, it was one at a time.
Did you break any bread, or did sort of loaves and fishes come in?
So we
Geelong don't normally do that.
No, it's rarity.
So what happened when you posed this question to Shannon Neal?
He played a very straight bat to it. He said, "No, I like Geelong." And
so did you say, "Why did you only sign for 1 year?"
Yeah.
Did you ask him whether there was a deal for longer than one put forward?
No, I didn't ask him that. It probably should have been the question I should have asked. But he was very quick to say he's happy in Geelong. And
but he's going to say that. He's not going to go, I'm very, very unhappy because, you know, the girl I was with has gone off and she's gone to the movies with someone else. I mean, they're going to trot out the lines.
Yeah.
So it's – I wonder whether the interest from the other clubs wasn't huge.
Yep.
He signs a one-year deal hoping that he can play some senior footy next year, but Cameron and Hawkins are still going to be there, so I don't know that that's going to be the case.
Yep.
He's going to be very much fringe and get a game.
Yeah, when they rest or whatever.
Yeah, so
Or is he backing that maybe he thinks that Geelong can win a flag and Hawkins might go,
that's not going to happen.
Played him a third flag.
Tommy Hawkins is on track to kick about 50, 55 goals.
Yep.
He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, but we thought Corey Enright would play on and he went out on an All-Australian season.
True, but he was like 35 or something. Yeah. 34.
Well, Hawkins will be 30.
Well, true.
Hawkins is 35.
I just don't think...
Hawkins has just turned 34.
Yeah, I don't think he's... I'd be staggered if Tom Hawkins gave the game away at the end of this year.
If they won a flag.
Yeah, well, that might be put a little sort
so
of
is that,
spin on it.
So, is that what Neil might be banking and going, all right,
I don't... If you're signing contracts and hoping that other players do X, Y, and Z, I think that you're looking at the wrong page. I think you need to be worried about yourself. And the fact that he's only got on a one-year deal is a little... Look, it's better than nothing. It's better to have him for next year. He'll have another year in Geelong then to really sort of settle in if he still is a little bit unsettled. So it's not the worst thing. I just wonder, and you probably... Kingy, you need to do this right.
You're right.
I need to know whether the Cats offered him more
yep.
and he said, no, I'll only sign one, or whether Geelong only offered one.
Yep.
That would be a really interesting question. Do you think you'd be able to find out the answer to that?
I'll do some digging.
Would anybody tell you?
Talk to his management, I suppose.
Because that'd be the pertinent sort of question.
Yep.
But anyway, look, 1 year's better than nothing. But it always, with a young player like that, you always get a little concerned when they're interstate players, when they're only signing 1 year deals.
Right. Or is he waiting to see what Luke Jackson does?
Well, that's probably why Fremantle are not. Potentially, I'm tipping he thought he might be able to get it Freo.
Yep.
But they're not. They're spending $80 zillion on Luke Jackson, so that puts Neil out of the picture. So he just signs a 1 year deal, buys his time, sees what happened with West Coast, and then gets home. But anyway, look, that's all to play out. So, can he play? I've asked this question before. Can he play in the ruck?
He can, but I think he's a forward.
He wants to play forward.
Yeah.
Is that? Did you ask him that?
I didn't ask him that, but that's where he's been playing.
Yeah. I just wonder whether he thinks. Because, I mean,
since the Cats have had Segler and Conway back in the VFL team, Neil's mostly played as a forward.
Yeah. I'm just wondering.
Kicking goals.
His best chance to play senior footy right now is in the ruck.
Well, I don't think it is now because you've got Segler up and about.
Yeah, but next year.
Next year?
Segler won't be next year, will he?
My understanding is Segler has a deal for next year. I thought he was only contracted for a year.
Let's hope.
But I suspect that if he got traded, he'd have to have got a two-year deal.
He wasn't. Was he traded?
I think he was a trade.
They picked him up from the. Like they went down to Aldi, and Andrew Mackey was actually his instruction on his shopping list. He had cauliflower, half a dozen sort of those beers that they have funny names with, of the Fraser Briggs. I think it is Fraser Briggs they have there.
All right.
And he had to get some Anusol
because
right. he had a sort of do it, and then he ended up getting none of those things
and got a ruckman,
and he ended up buying a ruckman.
Joint
And he was just located in a bin with a flashing red light.
Red spot special.
Yes, he was. And it was said $2. Reduced. And he checked the used by date. And it was soon.
Right. Do you want to have a listen to some of these questions? You're an idiot.
Yes.
All right. Dave Doncaster. Guys, most of this year your stream on the AFL app constantly fluctuates between real time and a 15-second delay. So, for example, the stream cuts back 15 seconds and repeats what has been said. This stays the case for a couple of minutes and it goes back to real time for a couple of minutes. So, therefore, I miss 15 seconds. This gives me the absolute rabbit bits, especially when trying... Is that like having the Edgar Brits?
Yep.
Yep. Trying to match the TV and avoid the C7 Muppetry. Not sure if this happens with anyone else. Yeah, I can't tell you. I'm not technically inclined.
Savvy.
It will come down to, technically savvy. Yes.
Is it anything to do with us, Kingy, though, or is it beyond? Is it one of those things where you say it's beyond our control?
It's beyond our control. Daz Broncos has answered on our behalf, as he always does.
Oh, Daz is... He's got a bit of a technical nous, too.
Yeah.
Daz, I have to tell you, too, I'm wearing my...
your Bengals T-shirt?
I'm all over it. I couldn't wait.
Well played.
I can't wait.
Bunnings. Great show, gents. Keep it up. Oh, has he gone to somebody else's page? Oh, no, it's our page. Just wanted to ask Benny a question. Now we are nearing the end of the home and away. His thought on the coaching setup at the Cats. Early in the year, you seemed very critical of there not being a midfield assistant coach, backs and forwards. I, too, was sceptical, so not having a go. The big clean out of Scarlett, Enright and Knight seems to have been a needed change up and has probably brought some much-needed new ideas.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I don't know if I was critical. I was probably sceptical how it would work. But whatever it is, you know, however they've got it working, it's working, and you can't deny results. Geelong are getting results. So however they've got it fashioned and shaped, it's really working for them. And you know, Enright and Scarlett, obviously great players for Geelong, but getting those new voices in, particularly for some older guys, although some of those voices are familiar, but they have been away and come back. So it's working. But I was 100%. Who was that, King?
That came from Bunnings.
Yeah, Bunnings. Is that onion underneath your snag or on top of your snag? I completely agree, and it's working.
Which former K-Rock expert used to, and good friend of K-Rock, used to be known as, his nickname was Bunnings?
Troy Selwood.
Troy Selwood.
Yeah. Selwood. That really went to the...
John O'Brien gave him that nickname.
Did he?
Yeah. John Brown.
That aligns, doesn't it? There's not a lot of sort of...
Bit of dad humour.
Yeah, I love a bit of...
No. Cats. G'day, gents. Love listening to the podcast and the call on game day. Any chance can K-Rock can foster an equivalent of SEN Stadium so we can get the call live without delay at the ground through an iPhone? We'd love to be able to move away from the old school transistor. Good question. I will put it to our management and see what we can come up with. Yep. Not sure how that all works. I don't even know how SEN Stadium works. I know it's obviously a real-time call on an app. But I'll have a chat to our people.
I think the expression "kingy" in the business world is it's worth exploring.
Right, thank you. Cat is 07. Hey guys, I think back after the back sixes performance the next week, the number 44 might need to come through the twos. No, he's joking. In all seriousness, what a great problem to have now where we have 3 to 4 players waiting in the seconds who could get a game. I think from this point we should finish top two. However, I think dropping a game or two wouldn't be the worst thing. I must admit, earlier in the year I said that this team were cooked and needed to be blown up. I wasn't wrong. Good calling, and Benny, stay out of trouble.
Yeah, well, we'll try our best to do that. I love getting a bit mischievous, though. The only thing, Kingy, and this is a good problem to have, but... it happens probably more in the midfield than defence, but Stewart is such a phrase you'd like to use. He's such a dominant figure in defence, and he plays the Tom Stewart role, which we don't know exactly what that is, but they try and get him onto the best matchup or a bit loose so that he can cut across. So that's fantastic. When he comes back, you know, how does players like those sort of lesser lights like Zach Guthrie, you know, Collar Jasny, does Tui, Duncan, how do they mix in with that? Does it still flow? And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I'm just saying everybody's role alters again.
Yep.
And, you know, they need to keep playing that good footy. So,
I'll give you an example. Which two key defenders for Geelong haven't played a lot together this year? Two key names down back haven't played a lot together this year.
Well, Collar Jasny and...
No.
Well, Blitzarves.
No.
Stewart and Henry.
Correct.
Yeah, they haven't.
What have they played? 4 games together?
Oh, King, you're all over that numbers. Not many.
So they played the Richmond game together?
Yeah, and they might come in and be even better, which hope they are. But
that's the thing. It'll be interesting to see how that sort of all settles once Stewart's back and they get... And Henry played forward in that Richmond game.
Yeah.
So they've played, what, 3 games together now? I think Henry missed round 1 and played the next 3 before getting hurt again?
Because if you look at the midfield, you know, when in past history, even this year to a degree, I suppose, when Dangerfield goes down or Selwood goes down, which isn't often, you think, oh, God, how's the midfield going to go? But then you look at it and you think, well, hang on, we've found Tommy Atkins in the midfield and, you know, Cam Guthrie stepped up. He's playing, having a more impact forward to centre. People step up, and then you suddenly think, well, hang on, how good's that? But then when the star comes back in, those players then retreat back to
they go back into the behind the scenes.
a little bit, and then maybe don't play as well. So it's a real mix and a balance in getting everybody to sort of continue to play their role, despite the fact that the dominant player in that area of the ground, which for the Cats is Stewart, in the midfield, it's probably much more of a mix now than real even balance in the midfield. Yeah. And up forward, it's Cameron and Hawkins.
Yeah. Five games together, rounds 1 to 5 they played.
Other thing too I liked about Kingy about not last week but even the last few weeks is that, and they're not getting huge possessions, but Stengel, Myers and Close are working well together.
Yes.
Myers, his pressure's been good. He's bobbing up with the odd goal, getting involved.
Still a whipping boy.
Still a whipping boy, but Stengel's been great, obviously, and Close is good. But he's finding his feet.
But even Rowan's
pressure. And Rowan is the other one. Yeah. So those four are getting some continuity in their footy, and they're working well together alongside the two big blokes, which is, you know, fantastic. They've got a really nice mix at the minute.
They do. Also, we've got B. Davey, 22. Gents, at the beginning of the year, the midfield was seen to be our Achilles heel. Recent weeks have shown that with the addition of Atkins, we have blocked a few holes. But I think Stanley's effort has gone under the radar. I feel we have begun to trust him a lot more, which allows us to be more proactive around stoppages than reactive.
Yeah, I agree. And we've spoken about this before, Kingy. He's got some effort. He's playing with effort. You can actually visibly see it. And that's probably been a knock on him in the past, is that he lopes around and it doesn't appear to be an effort, you know, from the outside looking in. I've mentioned this before. Bulldogs game, Melbourne game, Carlton game. Played with an intensity. And he's not going to star every week. People don't expect that. No player does. There's down days for all the stars. But if he's playing with that intensity and providing a bit of a presence around the ground, that's what we need. And he's been doing that. But he can't afford to pick and choose. And I think I said this, what was it last week? I said West Coast, he had a game where he just loafed around and was pretty average.
Yep.
He's not one that can afford to do that. He has to bring that intensity each and every week and to every contest. And then he can be a factor for the Cats, a contributor. He can't afford to drop off.
Chris Scott has hinted that Segler will get a game at some point. I think that is exactly the right call. I don't believe he'll be in our best 22, but we must keep Reece hungry and on edge. He's the biggest key to us even thinking about going close to lifting the cup. Just on Segler, not in the frame this week, but Chris Scott says he will be coming to reckoning round 20 onwards.
Well, there's two parts to that. One is, yes, you have Segler with a senior game or two under his belt if you need him.
I think you need to play him.
Probably.
Because if Reece was to go down, well, I suppose then you got to think about two things. Do you just go with blitz halves?
Probably.
Or do you bring in Segler? Well, you wouldn't go with Segler without any AFL.
No, and you'd have to see how he went. The other side of that coin, Kingy, is that what's the one factor that's absolutely crucial for Reece Stanley?
Yep.
His confidence.
Yep.
So you put him out of the team, and with the proviso that he's likely to come back, but I would be very, very reticent.
Oh, just keep him playing.
Well, so you're going to have Stanley, Segler and Blitzars playing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. Well, so where does Blitzars play?
Well, I think does De Koning need maybe potentially
a week, another week?
A rest somewhere.
I'd just be really careful about players like Stanley. If he's in reasonably good form, which he is, I don't know. If you're going to play Segler and put Stanley out, there'd be pros and cons about that.
Yeah. Quick question. At what point do you think the players and officials enter their own hub to limit the potential for COVID to derail a season? As a teacher, it is going through schools like you wouldn't believe, and we can't rely on hope that it won't affect the Cats at some point. Mm-hmm. The clubs have done pretty well so far. Like, I know we've had a couple where there's been, you know, Brisbane have been hard hit, West Coast hard hit. I think the Dogs got a few cases in one hit. Geelong have had the three in season, so Parfitt the most recent, Collar, Jasny and Rowan, I think, are the only three I can think of off the top of my head. So Geelong managed it well. Yes, it is sweeping through the community. I suspect the club's saying to the players, just limit your movement.
Oh, well, if you're a footballer, a professional footballer, and your team has an opportunity to win a premiership.
Yep.
And you have to just, you know, sit on your hands for 5 or 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Surely you're saying that. Yep. You're not going out to nightclubs.
No.
You're not maybe, you know, having a liaison with someone. Maybe you are. Depends, as long as you've been liaisoning with her for a bit and not just a sort of a one-off liaison.
Right.
All those sorts of things. You have to consider that.
Yep.
So you just hope that players are smart. You can only lead them to the trough. Yep. At some point, they're going to have to drink from it and be smart. And you'd just be, I don't know. You'd hope that it would be devastating, wouldn't it, if you did all that work all year and because of the actions of maybe two or three players, it swept through your club and you get to a final and you got seven blokes out.
Yep.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to be the one that had maybe a finger pointed towards me as being involved in that.
Foxdog 50, gents, I know I shouldn't really be worried about what our list may look like next year as we have bigger fish to worry about, but it comes to my attention thinking on who will stay or leave this year. This is the list according to Footy Wire on who's out of contract. Geelong, Brandon Parfitt, Francis Evans, Gary Rowan, Isaac Smith, Joel Selwood, Luke Dalhouse, Nick Stevens, Paul Sapatolis, Quentin Narkle, Sam Simpson, Sean Higgins, Tom Hawkins, Zach Guthrie, Zach Tui, Zane Williams. I'd have to say Higgins and Dalhouse will hang up the boots. Mm. We have to upgrade Brad Close and Tom Atkins from the rookie list, and they do have to do that because they're 3 years on there. So upgrading them, that still means we need to find another three players to show the door. Plus, we're linked to numerous players, e.g. Degoe, Taranto, Hopper, Bruin, Brayshaw. Let's say we even get one of them, that would make it four people to show the door. Would you think they might even delist Simpson and rookie list him, knowing the year after there might be a lot more players will hang up the boots? Also, maybe delist and then re-rookie Segler. Jeez.
There's a fair bit there. That's sort of like
that's
like a sermon from the mount. It'd
be very interesting if Gary Rowan got another contract.
Yeah, that's a line ball. With the Close coming on, Stengel. He's a different sort of player, I know, but yeah, that
Francis.
You think one more year, Francis Evans? I think
probably in trouble.
Yep, with those guys coming on board, 100%, he's in trouble. I'm not convinced. I don't.
If
know.
Isaac Smith was
how old Segler? 32?
No, 31.
31. Yeah, yep. I just think he's. I watched him. He's not around next year, is he? They probably got nothing else. So,
if Isaac Smith was to play in a premiership, would that do him? Walk out a four-time premiership player?
Potentially.
Yep.
Yeah.
The skipper might consider.
I'd be staggered if
Quinton Narkle's looked to go elsewhere before. Is this the year that he actually does go somewhere?
I think he'd probably see the writing on the wall.
Nick Stevens is an interesting one. Just haven't had, those kids that have been drafted the last, 2019 and 2020 have been impacted by COVID in terms of being exposed to playing footy. So does Stevens get another year?
They've got to make a call.
Yep.
The club has to make a call and the player has to make a call.
Yep.
You know, are they going to be good enough? Have what they've seen over the last 2 years, albeit disjointed, is it good enough to go again? It's a bit like assessing horses. You've got to make a call on what level you think they're going to get to and will they get there and how much time is invested and all those sorts of things. They've got to make a call. And then the player, he might think, someone like a Nick Stevens might look at it and think, well, geez, I'm sort of, a half back. And I'm looking at the list here, and I'm about the eighth listed halfback. I'm not getting a game anytime soon. I'll go somewhere else.
Where is he on the depth chart?
Yeah, the old depth chart. We don't do that. But
no.
He'd be down there.
Yep.
He'd have six or seven sort of defenders ahead of him. Right. So barring sort of divine intervention, he's probably not getting a game.
Howler 41, gents, the bandwagon rolls on. Sam DeConing was like a forensic accountant. He gave Mackay absolutely nothing. Thought Henry fought back well. Kern only had four touches after half time. Great to see Sam Simpson in the VFL. Also, Nick Stevens, 36 touches across half back. Played his best VFL game. Might be too late this year, but have to find a way to get him into the side next year. Speaking of buys, why does the VFL have so many buys? It's like a fourth grade wicket keeper. The reason they do is because they only play 18 home and away games, but they want the season running as parallel as possible to the AFL, so they play 21 rounds.
Something has to be done there.
Yeah, but because the VFL standalone clubs, they've never played more than 18. It's always been 18 game seasons. They don't want more because it costs them more. They then have to find more money to pay players, etc. So that's why there's so many buys. That's how the Cats have ended up with, I think, three buys. So, and they've been pretty well spaced. I think they won about round five, one mid season to align with the Cats AFL buy, and then one. I think they've played a month of footy. They'll have a buy and then another month. It's not ideal. But it wouldn't be any different if there was a buy in the competition as well. You'd still end up with that situation. So
they've got to fix that.
Well, I don't think they can unless they tell the VFL clubs, the VFL standalone clubs, agree to play 22 games.
Mm.
It's not going to happen. Or 21 games, it's not going to happen. They had they used to play just straight through, and I think the only buy they had was the mid-season buy for the AFL listed clubs. So the whole list was off, and that, though, meant that you weren't playing AFL games VFL games till about round four of the AFL season.
Mm.
And that wasn't ideal either.
No, well, something, they've got to find a solution to that, King. I think I've heard Patrick Dangerfield talk about that.
It's called a reserves competition. Why don't we have one?
Cost too much.
Does it?
That was the reason.
Oh, God. Right. In terms of list spots, I think we have plenty of small forward types. Frank Evans towards the back end, I think he could be one expendable in any trade. Great to see the Cats sign Dempsey Conway, and most importantly, Neil. He's well and truly gone past Asava, and he's now fifth in VFL goals with 28. Wonder if Giants...
Would they trade Radigalea as another goal?
Potentially. Who else asked a question? Cats of the future, last one. New midfield structure. Have we seen a side with that many defence-minded mids running through? Is this unique? I can't think of many sides that have fielded a structure like that. Sydney's midfield over the last decade has been very defence-minded.
I think Fremantle's is pretty good.
Yep.
Sarong, the old Balinese outfit.
Yeah.
Brayshaw, as good as he is offensively, he's very very good at the defensive side of the game.
But so is, you look at the Swans, you look at Parker and Kennedy and guys like that.
Yeah,
they don't mind.
No, and you've got got to have it, King.
Callum Mills.
I mean, think Geelong in their heyday.
Oh, absolutely.
Bartell.
Kelly.
Ling. Kelly. They offset. I meant to say Corey.
Yeah.
Joel Corey, Ling, and Kelly.
Yeah.
They offset Bartell, Ablett, Johnson, Chapman, who all wanted to sort of go the other way.
Correct. So Chappie wasn't bad defensively.
No, no, he was, yeah. But he wasn't. He was. You wanted him being offensive if you can.
Well.
And not, you know, I don't mean sort of like wind passing offensive. I mean.
So you're offensive.
No, I am too. But so anyway, look, it's. Yeah, it is. It's good to see because you've got to have that. And because at this level against the good teams, they are going to get hold of you at some point in the game. It's how well you hold up when that's happening.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.